Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Ghar se dola chala ladni ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka. Ghar se dola chala ladni ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka. Kitne nazo se pala tha humne, har tarah se sambhala tha humne. Haaye humse juda ho rahi hai, haaye humse juda ho rahi hai. Ghar ki yaadon mein wo kho rahi hai.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's exactly now 5 minutes after 11 South African time. It's a beautiful morning here in Johannesburg. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. And of course, our beloved engineer this morning is Brother Bonface. We welcome him into our program. He's our co-pilot. And let's welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM and our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +2784-786-3132. Well, today is the 28th of Safar 1443, which is also the 6th of October 2021. We welcome our beloved senior Ustad into the show. Ustad, welcome to the Bliss of Marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Arafat. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Listener says, your Ustad, I am 25 years old. I have 2 grandchildren already, Ustad. Can I go for Umrah with my son-in-law? He is my age, Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Before I respond to that query, let me just make one announcement that tomorrow, Thursday, inshallah, will be the 29th of Safar, and tomorrow evening after sunset, after Maghrib, we should scan the sky. Inshallah, it is 29 our moon, so the chances of seeing the crescent and new moon will be excellent, inshallah al-Aziz. So it will be sighted, inshallah al-Aziz. We all should make a concerted effort. Then you inform your local ulama, and inshallah then it will be announced that, and confirmation will come. So tomorrow night, inshallah, will usher in the month of Rabiul Awal, and Friday will be the first of Rabiul Awal 1443. You, sister, you want to go for, you know, Umrah, and you want to go with your son-in-law. So are you going to go with your son-in-law alone, or your daughter will also be with, and so forth and so on? According to what the agents are sending out, the travel agents, they say 2 people in a room only. So if you and your son-in-law alone going and you're in a room only, obviously that is unacceptable and undesirable. One thing can lead to another, and so many problems, and you are the same age. So there is too much hope of fitna and so forth. If you and your daughter and your son-in-law go, so remember, is it permissible or not? So yes, it will be permissible from that dimension and perspective that you can travel together in that situation, because the Quran Kareem states, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 23. Now we come to the question of going for Umrah. Do you know that I know some family members of mine are going and so forth, so I ask them also. So you must remember that in Medina Munawwara, you can go to the Haram, but remember for Salat and Salam, you want to go right in front, you have to make application. In Makkah Mukarramah, you only allowed one Umrah, no real Nafil Tawaf, and remember every Salat you have to apply. Imagine you are there in Makkah Mukarramah and Jummah time, they tell you you can't go. So what's the point really in going? And other Salats also, they'll tell you maybe one Salat, two Salats per day, maybe one Salat, two Salats in 2 days, they allow you. So why should we accept all these humiliating conditions? So therefore, to me, it does not make sense. You're going to spend 30, 40, 50,000, 100,000, depending how many of you are going. Although they got specials and all that nowadays for 4 days and 5 days and what have you, still you must remember. And then there's another added dimension that you must remember about the vaccine story. We told you 101 times. According to us, you must remember our fatwa and Majlisul Ulama's fatwa of PE and Jamiat Ulama Khauteng's fatwa. So you must remember, we say it's haram and not permissible. And you can see in the world today how the non-Muslims themselves are rebelling and speaking against this. Not only the public, but even the experts in the field. This is not a vaccine, it's an experimental injection, remember that. And they have an ulterior motive and hidden agenda, and that is the reduction, remember, of population and so forth and so on. So therefore, we will say, remember, you should rather make istikhara and see whether you should go or not. But if you are asking me for my advice, I discourage people from going for Umrah in this situation and under these conditions. So that is my advice to all, whether it's South Africa, whether it's Arab countries, whether it's America, Europe, wherever. Because why? My point is this. Why must we? And the best part is, when they have all their haram functions, their musical functions, their soccer teams playing and so forth, they don't have all these restrictions. So, but for Salat and in the Haram Sharif, it don't belong to them. So it belongs to the Muslim Ummah. So remember that this is a major, major crime. Remember that. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِذُلْمٍ نُذِقُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. When a person makes intention, Quran says, of deviation and oppression in the Haram Sharif in Makkah, we will unleash a painful, horrible, terrible punishment. Then Surah 22, verse 25. Then what do we think about those people who implement all these haram conditions? So much worse the punishment will be. So that is our fatwa and our advice regarding this topic.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. A listener says here, Ustaz, during the nikah, if the girl is at home, does she need to have her hair covered? So that means the nikah is at the masjid, the girl is at home. They are at two different places. Well, she need to be in hijab, Ustaz, anonymous sister from Durban.
Remember that what normally happens is this. You are getting married this Friday, this Saturday, this Sunday. So by the way, if you are getting married this week, our Moana Arafat has a program regarding the Elan on the announcements of Nikah every Friday, alhamdulillah, mashallah, between 10 and 10:30. So you should send your details on this number, 084-786-3132. Whether you're getting married in South Africa or overseas, it doesn't matter. At least people will make dua. So send your details and inshallah, Maulana will announce it. So what normally happens, you're getting married Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Thursday or so, that the people will come together. What I mean, the people, my daughter is getting married, example. So when she is getting married, so I will take permission from her because I will be the wakil. So this is another thing you must learn. The best person to become the wakil, the representative of the bride, of the lady getting married, is the father, the biological father. That's the best to do. Sometimes they appoint the uncle, all that is permissible, but best is the biological father. So it's my daughter, she's 18, 20 years old, she's getting married to Mona Arafat's son, example. So in a case like that, what will happen? So I will take permission from her. Okay, Betty, so and so, Aisha, the daughter of Abdul Qadir Hussein, that you're going to get married to so and so, Abu Abdullah, and so, and the mahar is 10,000 rand, 5,000 rand, 20,000 rand. So whatever is agreed upon, or the jewelry amount and so forth, are you really happy about it and so forth? She will say yes. So she will appoint me as a wakil. So I will be her wali, her guardian, I will be her representative, and you will have two male witnesses. To have the two male witnesses at that time there, when she is appointing me as the representative, is not compulsory. It's better, desirable, but not compulsory. Then the day of the nikah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Maulana, the Imam, the Sheikh, whoever is performing the nikah will ask me. So she will be at home, and the husband, my son-in-law, so he will be in the masjid, I will be in the masjid, and remember, the witnesses will be in the masjid, the other people invited, they will be there, and in the mosque and masjid, and then the nikah will continue. So she, the lady at home, is not compulsory, she must wear a scarf and a hijab and so forth, but we will say it is better and desirable, because you must remember that for a woman, even in a home, it is best to wear the scarf and so forth. See, I give you dalil for this, evidence for this, because today these Salafis, you must remember, they pass message and fatwa that even when the lady is reading Quran, she can just read with short sleeve, she can read without scarf, she can do this, do that. We reject all that. So I give you from Quran. Quran Kareem states, Surah 22, Surah Hajj, verse 32, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. When you show respect to the symbols of Almighty Allah, so the Quran Sharif is a sign and symbol of Allah, obviously. So then you must show respect and reverence. That is the sign you have taqwa and piety in your heart. Hadith Sahih, authentic hadith, in Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, and Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ تَفَلَ تُجَاهَ الْقِبْلَ جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَ وَتَفْلُهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. Whosoever, remember, spits, his saliva goes in the direction of the Qibla, tomorrow on the day of justice he'll come, and his saliva will be there on his forehead between his eyes, to disgrace and humiliate him. Third one we must remember, so Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, she one day inside the house, she did not have her head covered properly, you must remember that. So it was half open, half exposed, or totally open, and so forth. So Jibreel Amin alayhi salam did not come inside. So why you didn't come inside? For the wahi revelation, he says no. That's Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha's hair and head was exposed. If you want a reference of this, open Sirah Ibn Hisham. So therefore Rabiul Awwal is starting tomorrow night, Friday will be the first also. So we should be reading the Sirah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only in Rabiul Awwal, throughout the year. So we learn all these type of lessons and so forth and so on. So we will say, although it's not compulsory and mandatory, but it's best for her to wear the scarf, to wear the hijab and so forth. And although there may be only ladies there, but it's still best for her to do so.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Listener says, Jazakumullah wa khair for a wonderful program, Ustad. I just want to know, is my brother a mahram to my daughters Can they travel with him, Ustad?
So you must remember, they will be the chacha, they will be the kaka. So I am your biological brother. So it is your daughters and so forth. So I will be their pasa brur and the paternal uncle. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, both ways, al-ammu sinu abi, that the uncle, the chacha, the kaka, the paternal uncle, pasa brur, takes the place, is like equal to the father. So remember, definitely I'm mahram and they are my nieces, so I can travel with them, they can travel with me. Similarly, my mother's sister, al-khalatu bi manzilatil so the mother's sister, that is the masi, that is the khala, maternal auntie, masa sister. So remember that they become, you must remember, they take the place of a mother. So definitely in this case which you are asking, I as the uncle, for my nieces, my brother's daughters, my sister's daughters, I become, you must remember, a mahram for them 100%. I can never marry them and they can never marry me. Totally permissible to travel together.
Somebody says, please teach men how to be a gentleman, Ustad. I'm married to my husband for a long time. I don't go out to work and yet my husband doesn't see the needs to give me an allowance monthly. Mufti Saab, it becomes difficult when I want to give a gift to my family members or friends or just want something extra for myself. I'm not a demanding person and he knows I would be happy with even a little, which he can definitely afford. Dear Mufti Saab, it's hard to keep asking. Some men just don't understand. Anonymous Ustad.
Remember, one is what is compulsory upon the man, and that is the mahar, the marital gift, and so forth and so on. So that when your nikah was performed, he paid that in cash or kind. But remember what you are saying, sister. We concur and agree with you 99%. And that is the man must also realize that how much effort the wife made. She left her parental home. She left the place of her birth. She left the siblings. All that she did to spend the remainder of her life with her husband. She's the mother of your children. She's cooking for you 3 times a day, twice a day. And she's cleaning your house. And so looking after your valuables, fulfilling your desires. And so many things she's doing. So what should we do? Is a akhlaqi first. Is a moral obligation. Once a week, once a month, you, the man, you should spend on your wives. Remember that. I give you one Quranic verse and one hadith, sahih, authentic hadith. So from there, you men can realize, the husbands. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in Surah 65, chapter 65, and verse number 7. So easy reference, chapter 65, verse 7. لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَةٍ. So every one of the husbands, they should spend according to what they can afford, according to their means. وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ, and whoever is really very, very poor, they can't even, afford a proper meal and so forth. فَلْيُنْفِقْ بِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهِ, so he must spend a little bit from what Allah gave him. So لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا, Allah has not burdened anyone more than what he has given them according to their capacity, ability, capability. And if there's difficulty, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعَدَ أُسْرِ يُسْرًا, Allah will make ease and relief after the difficulty. So chapter 65, verse number 7. So yes, we will tell the husbands that you must spend on your wife, whether it is, you must remember, weekly or monthly or whatever, and give her that money, jayb kharj, pocket money. Mm-hmm. So in that way there the love will increase. Second one, and then don't demand what you spend this 100 rand, bring the receipts, I want to see this. No, don't poke your nose in her business. Now you gave it to her, she also got the personal needs and so forth and so on. So sometime you must remember, unexpectedly, without your poopy, your honey, your darling, your sweetheart asking, tell her, oh poopy, oh honey, take this money, take this, you understand. So in that way there you enhance your marriage. The hadith is authentic in Bayhaqi. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tahadaw tahabu, give gift to one another and that will generate mutual love. Now you take husband-wife situation, so you must remember in a case like that what happens. Sometimes there's misunderstanding, sometimes there's arguments, and sometimes the voices are raised also. So look at the wisdom of Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tahadaw, give gift to one another, tahabu, and it will generate mutual love. Then the ta'aleel, the rationale, the reason. فَإِنَّ الْهَدِيَّةَ تُذْهِبُ الدَّغَائِدِ. When you give gifts, it removes that malice, that rancor, that hatred, and that changes into love. Now you, sister, why I said 99% is for this. You also, you mustn't only say he must give. You also must be but clever and intelligent. So once in a while, once in 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, you buy a pair of socks, you buy a nice topi for him, a hat, you buy a miswak for him, you buy a handkerchief for him. You just buy it and leave it there and see how he will appreciate it. You will win his heart, you will win his pocket, you will win his debit card, credit card, everything. So you must remember, Mokai Shanasi, Mardam Shanasi, you must know in which occasion what to do, and you must know with whom you are speaking. So when your husband is in a good mood, then that time there you have that present ready and you just leave it there and see that he will start buying you more and more. So what you spending will be 50 rand, 100 rand, 200 rand. What he will start spending, if he's got common sense, sometimes common sense not so common, will be 500 rand, 1000 rand, 2000 rand, because he will feel that look at this wife, how good she is. She's doing so much khidmat, she's doing the extra mile, and yet she's giving me gifts also. And that is the connotation of this hadith, tahadaw, that give gifts from both sides. But the husband must give 80-90% and the wife must give 10-20%. That is what Islam is teaching us.
Subhanallah. I see the brother from land south says, didn't Khadija radiallahu anha and the wife spend on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, Ustaz?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. They must spend sometimes, but it's not compulsory upon them. For us, the men, it's compulsory that we must spend on, you must remember, our wives. So that is compulsory. Give her roti, kapra, makan, medication. So me and you as husbands, Surah 4, verse 19, Quran is commanding us, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, with justice, with respect and equity. And you must provide for her shelter, you must give food, you must give medication, you must give clothing, all the basic needs, necessities you have to. So what they spend on us is just mustahab, is desirable, but not compulsory. You must make that distinction.
I see one sister is asking, how much does Mufti Sahab spend on Apa Fatima Ustad?
Bighayri hisab. So you must remember. So where I was? In Durban, uh-huh. Now last week. So I was in one place. So I saw one chap there. I wanted to give him 1 rand, 5 rand, 2 rand, whatever. So somebody was looking, that some driver or whoever it was. So I said, just give me something, makikik there. In Mehmet, I just speak to in Mehmet also. So I said, makikik there, give me something. You know, she knows what I want. So this type of thing. So I told that chap, just look at me. I don't even have 1 cent in my pocket. You understand? If I have to ask the debit card, the credit card, the 1 rand, 5 rand, everything is by madam.
Allah.
So the, and me, I only got my keys and maybe miswak in there. So I can't give the miswak, I can't give the keys. So it was a simple Simon, you see. So she collects bighayri hisab. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Ustad Rufaida, listener wants to know, is it a good name for a baby girl, Ustad?
You must remember, any one of you want babies' names, this names, that names. So don't keep such fancy names, people cannot pronounce it and all that. So my advice, send me a message now, this afternoon or so, I will answer it, and then I'll send you 100 names for boys and 100 names for girls, and all these names are Sahaba's names. So on my number 071-888-1184, Once again, 071-888-1184. So just send me, just write their names. Don't make long, long stories, and then I will send you 200 names, all Sahaba, beloved students, companions of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, their name. I'm dead against all this. You'll keep fancy, fancy names that the people can't even pronounce it properly, and so forth and so on. And then, like yesterday, that brother phoned. I think it was yesterday. He said, people call me Rio, but his name was Riaz. Now, what a beautiful name, Riaz, but now make Rio. So I told him about Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, you understand? So we mustn't do this type of things here. Riaz is good name, excellent. But we must keep good names. Why? Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, and you must remember in Abu Dawood and various compilations, innakum tud'auna yawm al-qiyamah bi asma'ikum wa asma'i abaikum fa ahsinu asma'akum. So tomorrow, on the day of justice, you will be called by your name and your father's name. Abdul Qadir bin Ismail Hussein, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, like that. So you must remember, fa ahsinu asma'akum. Keep and choose good names, and the name you keep has a definite impact, you must remember, an effect on that person. One kafir, one kuffar, Shia, you know. So there, where Imam Abu Hanifa was in Kufa, in Iraq, and all these places. So this kuffar, Shia, they always try to be funny, you know. So he had two horses, one horse named Abu Bakr, one horse named Umar. He wanted to be funny, you know, so he kept his horse's name like that. And they do these funny things, this kuffar, the Shias. So one day they heard that the Shia died. So why the horse kicked him? You understood? So they came to Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Hanifa was a genius. So he said, go and find out. It must be the horse whose name he kept. You must remember Umar. Because Umar had Jalal and Jamal. And remember that he said, oh, Bakr radiallahu anhu had Jamal and Kamal. So you must remember that. So Jalal, he was, you understand, that very, very powerful, aggressive also. So when they found out, they said, it's true. So the name you keep definitely has an impact on the personality of that person as well. So now you keep names, Allah alone knows, you'll understand. And why they keep names sometimes, so not so easy names, and because some actor, some actress, some sports star, all, this is all shaitaniyat, you must remember that. So make sure we keep good names.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that Mufti Sahib, my wife will criticize my family, I won't visit them, and also he's not shy. She's not shy to bring out their fault in the name of Deen, and will also say that she's very straightforward, Mufti Sahib. But when it comes to her family attending weddings in the hall, then she'll also attend. Or when the parent of one of the children from the school invites the child for a birthday party, then she says she feels shy to refuse them and don't want to hurt them. Ustad, and the list goes on.
You must remember, again, this is one-sided story, so we must know, we answer the questions as they are posed to us. If conditional clause. So if what you are saying is 100% the truth, but nothing but the truth, then what your wife is suffering from is the holier-than-thou attitude. What your wife is suffering from is nifaq and hypocrisy. So for her, she's more busy looking at the faults of others rather than looking at her own downfall or her own family's downfall. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith in Bulughul Maram, Mustan Ahmad, various compilations. Tuba with the toy, means one big tree in Jannat, or it means Jannat itself. Tuba liman shaghalahu aibuhu an uyubin nas. Glad tidings and Jannat and Bisharat and Bushra for that person who's so engrossed looking at his own faults, they don't have much time to look at the faults of others. So yes, she will tell you, yeah, your family, they did this, they did this, they did this. Wedding time come, so she's the first one in the hall and all that. So where's the piety then? Birthday comes, she's the first one and all that. So all the haram places places she goes, but she wants to criticize your family. So sister, that's a bad habit. You must remember that. You don't have to poke your nose everywhere. You worry about, you must remember yourself also. So what is the aim? The aim must be, we all have to make islah. See, the Quran says, wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. Bring about islah, bring about reformation, piety, goodness in my progeny, in my family. So Surah 46, Surah Ahqaf, verse number 15. But that does not mean that she got, does not have the right to say the good and command the good. She has the right to say that, but she must not justify it when she is wrong. When she is wrong, she must admit she's wrong. And she don't have to raise all these issues. She must just tell her husband that he must tell them, and so forth and so on. So what you need to do, husband, you must start ta'aleem in your house. Take Riyadu Salihin, Allama Nawawi Rahimahullah, the great work he wrote. Take the Fazail works of Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat Mohana Muhammad Zakariya, Nawarallahu Marqadahu. Start that in your home, and slowly, slowly you will see things will change from better to best, inshallah. From good to better, better to best, inshallah. So do that on a daily basis. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. حَبِيبُنَا صلى الله عليه وسلم, authentic hadith mentioned in Muslim Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, the best amal is that where there's consistency. Today we start so many things in our life and then finish after 1 week, 1 month. How many things I saw like this? So you must remember, it's a test of a person's sincerity. He goes on and on and on and on with a good deed. Istiqamat is a result of the ikhlas of that person. See, today people, they start books, they start, you must remember, magazine, they start, you must remember this. After 6 months, 1 year, dead finishing. So you take the majlis, whether you agree, don't agree, is your business there. The man is writing for 50 years now, plus minus. So you must remember this type of thing. He's well in his 80s. So that's istiqamah, that is ikhlas, that is qabuliyat in the law. So that is what we must learn. So what we must do, there must be consistency, even though it's little bit. So every day, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, you do ta'aleem. So you must remember, that is what is beloved by Almighty Allah. The actions, we continue with it consist. That's why I always tell our team here also, consistency is the key to success. Remember that. That is what we must learn.
Ustaz, that question that came in earlier on about brother a mahram to my daughter. She says, Maaf, the mother's brother, is he also a mahram, Ustaz?
So you must remember, the mother's brother is the mamaji. So you must remember, so mamaji also is, you must remember, mahram, because you must remember he is your mamaji, so that's fine. Khal, so that's fine also.
Somebody wants to know, Ustaz, is it the job of the wife to cook and to clean our mansion? We have 3 large rooms. Are we slaves to our husbands, Ustaz? Anonymous?
So when you got married to him and he came to propose to you with the Mercedes and the BMW, so you were the one who said that, he said, be my wife. And you saw the car, you saw the money, you saw the mansion. So you said, I don't know how to lage. So now you want to complain and so forth. When your husband tells you, you have to clean the house, you have to cook, then it's wajib upon you. It becomes compulsory upon you. So don't look at the masla halfway. So some of our taliba, our girl students, our daughters, they go study in a darulum. So the ustad, hadahumullah, Allah give him hidayat also, and give them hidayat, give us all hidayat. Then they learn there is not compulsory for you to cook. So you must remember that. So then they tell the husband, I won't cook for you. But the husband commands them, then it's wajib for you to cook. So you must remember, so how are you going to carry on in marital life and so? So what you going to do whole day? So you're going to just look at the mirror and put your lipstick and put your makeup and mascara and all, and watch the TV the whole day. So do all haram things. So remember, once the husband tells you, then it becomes wajib upon you. So yes, you must clean, you must do all these things here and so forth, you won't die. So you must remember that our mothers, all of them, my beloved mother, so those days in 68 when I started Hifz, there were no electric stoves and all. 3 o'clock in the morning she used to wake up, 3:30, because I had to be at class 4 o'clock. So you must remember that to make sure the koila, the lakri, the wood, the coal, everything had to be there. And I'm going to wake up, I want hot tea, I want this, I want that. So that is how you build your home. Not you sit here on your buttocks and on your, you know, and think of, on your laurels and think of hadi and all these type of things here. And today everything is press button. Today you got electric stove, you got microwave, you got the 101 gadgets. I don't even know how it works and whatever. So what is the big deal in that? So remember that you also have to play your role. And it's got nothing to do with slaves and all that. Yeah. So this is how you must, you have a different responsibility. Your husband got different responsibility. So both of you have to play your part for the good of the family. Tomorrow you will have children and so forth. So what example you will be for your daughters, I'm asking you. Tomorrow when your daughter is 15, 18, 20, she can't even cook and one roti. She can't even make one samosa because she can't even wash one dish. Why? Because she was sitting. How many times I get all these complaints? Because you must remember they're sitting on their laurels and playing with their phones. So what else are they doing? So remember this point. Today. So I got a question. Mm-hmm. So the mother writes, my son is so good that he's got a supersonic memory and all that, but he sits on his phone for 6-8 hours a day. And what dua I must read? What the dua is going to have? Take the phone away from him. So we spoil our children. Huck. We make them monsters ourselves. Remember that. What need was there to give that 10-year-old Laitiki and 11-year-old girl a phone and a smartphone and iPhone and this phone and the, what need you tell me that? But we spoil them with haram things. And then we think that we are good parents. How can that be good parents? So remember, we must give them the best from Islamic perspective, not what the West tells us. So that is the big mistake we are making nowadays.
Subhanallah. One more question, Ustad. It says here that when a dog licks, jump, or touches you, how many ghusls, and how many times do you have to wash your clothes? This is Omar Sara from the Plus, Ustad.
So you must remember Omar Sara from the Plus. And it's the Plus from the farm.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh.
So you must remember the hadith is sahih in Bulughul Maram in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, Ida walagal kalbu fi inaya hadikum faqsiluhu sab'a marat. So according to the Shafis and them, 7 times you have to wash it. It touch your body 7 times. It touch your clothes 7 times. It touch your utensils 7 times. And 1 time with sand also you must use. So use sand and then 7 times you clean it. So that is according to the Shafi'is and them. According to Hanafis, 3 times also will suffice. And 7 times will be better and mustahab and ihtiyat and precaution. So minimum 3 times according to Hanafis. And remember Shafi'is, Ambalis and them say 7 times. Imam Malik also, he says, he got one nice masla there. But anyway, no time for all that. So you must remember that is the hadith, authentic hadith. And today people will understand it and so forth. So the jarasim and the germs and so forth and so on. So therefore Islam, Imam Shafi Rahimullah is very strict. He says how the khinzir, the swine. So the khinzir, all the scholars agree, bumper to bumper, top to bottom, side to side, regarding the swine is najasul ain, the khinzir, the sewer, whatever you want to call. And you must remember, Imam Shafi says, even the dog, bumper to bumper, top to bottom, side to side, is najasul ain. Every part of it is impure. So therefore, we must be very, very careful. Therefore, to keep a dog as a pet and all that is haram in Islam, you keep it for hunting purposes, security purposes, so then it is permissible.
Well, it's exactly now 16 minutes to 12 o'clock. The listeners want to know, Ustad, can we vote for the Muslim parties in the upcoming elections, Ustad? Can we vote yes or no, Ustad?
Remember that regarding Muslim politicians, Muslim parties, all of them, end of the day, majority of them, we don't say all, but we'll say majority of them are also in it just for the money. We must remember that. That is nothing to do with helping humankind and people and so, it's to have their own pocket. That's the bottom line. We need to be honest of these things. Let me give you three examples and you will understand. Number one, that you see, you go ask these Muslim parties, go make a public statement, put on your website that Shias are kuffar. See how many of them are prepared to do that. You understood? So they won't do that. Why? Because they want votes and they will want money. So anybody helps them, so you must remember that. So that's the first point. Any person tell you that me, I want to serve the Muslims, I want to look after the interests of the Muslims, and we got the Muslim party and this part. Ask him, fine. You're saying that, we give you the benefit of the doubt, but now answer this question and make a public statement. If you can't do that, like our Maulvis today, you must remember that you see all of them, majority of them, they're not prepared. Few only are prepared, but you look at majority not prepared. So you must remember, I speak of the organizations, so you must remember to say that, Ala ru'usil ashad. In public, that the Shias are kuffar. So what khidmat, what service they going to render to the Muslims when they're not even prepared to say the people who curse, the best people of this ummah, the greatest, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anhum, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhum, as non-Muslim, you're not prepared to. So what you going to do? So what? Two, you saw yesterday we sent out. Hazrat Muhammad Sadiq Desai said, the person who went and he put that by the Hindu idol and all of that, 100% out of the fold of Islam, murtad. So 100% we agree. Therefore we sent it out. You must remember that. So it's 100%. So how can you vote for such people? It's a totally haram. You must remember that. They are there for the votes. So I told you, the politician's religion is expediency. So what is that? You will go to the Hindus, tell them how good they are. Go to the Christians, tell them how good they are. Go to the Jews and Jutlas, tell them how. Come to the Muslims, tell them how good you are. Just make everybody fools, you know. But end of the day, they don't realize what to izzu man tasha, what to dhillu man tasha. See that disgrace now? Absolute disgrace and humiliation. So Allah Ta'ala knows when we want to use the deen of Islam for our own hidden agenda and ulterior motive and to pocket. You must remember, Quran says, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, and we say, in this, when I say we, I mean many Muslims. So Allah Ta'ala protect us. That they say, nay, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجَيْبِ. How we can use Islam and commercialize it and so forth. Or we make politicize it and we use Islam and so forth and so on. So, who are we fooling? We're fooling none except ourselves. So you must remember that. And third one, we say you don't have to vote. Like myself, I don't vote. Right? Finish. We're tired of all this voting. It didn't help anything. The corruption and all that just goes more. So you must remember that you want to vote, then you make istikhara. And in that way you vote, who you think. See, I show you one profound statement. A great statement. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah wrote a book on siyasa. He wrote a book on politics, which I have. He wrote that if you have a Muslim ruler and he's a zalim, so you might, he's a dictator. Like today, the Arabs and the majority, the Muslim rulers. So, 10-pot dictators. Then he's a Muslim, but he's a zalim, an oppressor, 10-pot dictator. Allah's mercy, Allah's help will go away. You have a non-Muslim, but he is just. So, Allah's mercy, Allah's help in this world will come down. So, that is the lesson we must learn. That who is going to be just with you? So, that is what... Not these people play the card. Say, no, I'm a Muslim, you must vote for me. But which kind of Muslim you are? So you're not prepared to say the Shia, the Kufar. You're prepared to go to every temple, you ever prepared to go to everywhere just to get votes. So you sell your own Iman in the process. So what Muslim you are? So these are the questions you need to ask. We must remember that. So that is why that we have to put them. And yesterday I laughed myself sick. suit. Somebody on, you know, it's my habit. It was yesterday or this morning or what, Fajr time. So I just switch on the radio to hear what they're saying. So somebody asked, what you say of the good party? So he said, the good party is good for nothing. Understood? He said, the good party is good for nothing. So because people can speak what they want to. So you must remember these type of things here. So we must be honest and don't try and flatter people.
I see the brother from Lineage says here, but how can you say someone is a murtad? Maybe his intention and niyat was maybe to give da'wah. Ustad,
you're an absolute jahil. You must remember that. I told you long time, you must go to the psychiatrist. So if a person goes to the idol and does something, you must look at his intention. You are total jahil, jahil, murakkab you are. We, the law in Islam is, نَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِالزَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ مُتَوَلِّ السَّرَائِرِ. We pass the law. You must remember on what is the prima facie evidence. What is people's intentions, all that. We're not interested in that. That Allah Ta'ala will deal with them. And if you apply your law, then there won't be no murtad in the world. It just shows your jahalat and ignorance.
Ustad, Islahi Ijtima. Somebody wants to know, is it bid'ah, Ustad?
Remember, for something to be classified as a bid'ah is if people make it compulsory. They say you must come at this time, at this place, and if you don't come, it's sinful and so forth. Nobody says that in this type, whether it's tablighi ijtima, whether it's islahi ijtima. So it is permissible, we will encourage it, and we won't count it bid'ah. Similarly, you take tablighi ijtima. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Nawarallahu Marqadahu. Go study. Those of you who don't know Arabic, you don't know Urdu, you should read the work of Hazrat Alimiya, Hazrat Abul Hasan al-Nadwi, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, the life and the mission of Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas, Nawarallahu Marqadahu. So in 1925, 1926, in those days, say 100 years ago Islamically, so he started this work, remember, among the Mewatis and so forth. And he used to tell them, Hazrat used to tell them, he had firasat, he had the insight and the foresight, and he would tell them that your work, this work you are doing here, Allah will give hidayah to people in Europe and in America and that. These Mewatis were simple people. They said, the people in Mewat are not accepting, and Hazrat is speaking about America and Europe and all these things. But see, today when you travel the world, so what you see, that whether you like, don't like, I have to speak the truth. You must remember, no Darulum, no Alim, no Maulana, no one in the past century did the work which Tabligh Jamaat did. As a collective, you must remember, they did the greatest work, the Tabligh Jamaat. You must remember that. So now you got another branch, and that is called the Islahi Ijtima. So mashallah, you go there, sit in the environment, the love of Allah increases, the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam increases. You revive the sunnah, you make tashihul aqaid, you reform in this way. Many a time people's beliefs are also corrupted and so forth and so on. So in a case like that, you must remember, so that is what you will say, that it is highly encouraged, but you can't say compulsory. If you start saying compulsory, then it becomes bid'ah. So to iltizamu ma lam yalzam. So iltizamu ma lam yalzam. Something is not compulsory and you make it compulsory, so, and you say you must come at this time, this place and all, so then only. So obviously that is not happening, so I don't go. So nobody going to say that is a sin or something. So everybody got their own field, so we carry on in our field, you carry on, mashallah. We ek dusre ke rafiq bano, ek dusre ke fariq mat bano. You must compliment one another, we don't have to become opposition to one another.
Listen, says Ustad, I complained about my husband's brothers wearing mini tight shorts in front of me, and he said my mother took her niqab off in front of a 29-year-old boy when we were eating. She is 60. She regrets, dear Mufti Sab. Ustad.
So two wrongs don't make a right. So for your husband's brothers to run around with shorts and all that in front of you is totally haram. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, "Inna al-fakhida awra." So you must remember the thighs and all that are part of that that must be covered. So if they are strange women, in front of men also is not permissible. Leave women. Today you see the men, you know, Hajj time when we used to go. So that that. Now Allah alone knows when all this will open again for everybody. So you know this Hajj year 2021, 2022, all that, they never, 2020, 2021, they never allowed for foreigners. So when all this will happen, Allah alone knows. So let's just go. So when we used to go in the groups and that, I used to make this announcement. I said, you brothers, you'll run around with your shorty pyjama, the woman running around with their nighty and all that and so forth. It's all haram, all these things here. In the passage, they're running around here today, go from this room to this room and all that. So from man to man, to see the size is haram. Therefore, soccer is haram to see and all these things when they play with the short pants and that. So leave the professional, even normal one. So you must, because it's sahih hadith, innal fakhidha awra. So we must be clear on that issue. Now what about women? It's worse, obviously. So therefore, I told you 101 times, you must remember in this day and this age, that is best for you when you get married, and before you give the answer, you must ask that family and that husband to be, if you're going to say yes, where are you going to live? So you must say, best is we live separately. For these issues here, the laws of parda, the laws of daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, you all have argument, fight, and then to reconcile the two women is very difficult. So therefore, that you won't then face these kind of problems here. The men running around short pants and underpants and this pants and so forth and all these kind of things here. So you must remember this, that is haram, absolutely we must remember that. Now they can't say, no, your mother did this, your mother did this. That's wrong. That you are wrong and your brothers are wrong.
The mother says and the granny says, dear Mufti, we've got a very big swimming pool at home. All the cousins, nieces, all getting together. But we will be there and watching them to swim together. Is that permissible, Ustaz?
Totally haram, what you're talking. That how you can have the men and the women all swimming, and you know when the water comes and touches the body, all that, the curves and the shape of the body, everything. And now that the boy and the girl are underwater, and then you're going to see on top of the water, kala, tamane hukabarche under hutai. Ustaz, they will give that back, the back dive and front stroke and back stroke and all that. Underwater, kala, tamane nikabar hutai. All haram, A to Z, all haram. You must remember that. So you must remember, say, no, bring all the cousins. We will have a nice picnic. We will have a nice bash. And then the men will be swimming costume. The woman will be there in their swimsuit and all. How can that ever be halal? Idha lam tastahyi fasna ma'ashit. When this ummah loses the haya and shame, then remember, they will do anything. Therefore, the hadith go open. You must remember Mishkat Mustad Ahmad. There's a whole chapter in Mishkat Sharif on haya and shame. In Bayhaqi, in Mishkat Sharif, I go give you this hadith, beautiful. Innal iman wal haya aqranau jami'a. That when you have iman and you have haya and shame and modesty, morality, modesty, it is two partners together. Idha rufi'a ahaduma, when the haya, the shame, the modesty, you must remember, it goes, decreases, gets less and less, the iman is getting less and less and less. When the haya disappears, then gone out totally, you see among the non-Muslims what's happening. Now the Muslims also. So Allah forbid, so the iman also disappears. Let me give you two examples. It's not examples hanging in the air, it's in the Quran. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, you must remember, he came to Madian. He doesn't know anybody and he needs boarding, he needs lodging. He made dua, Surah 28, verse 24. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. There were two ladies there, he helped them with the water, they went home early. The father is Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam. So they related, narrated the whole story. They said that he sent Safura radiallahu, who became subsequently the wife of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. How her walking, you ladies take note. Surah chapter 28, verse 25. Her gait, G-A-I-T, her style of walking was so bashful, was so much haya, Allah Jalla Wala praised her. Imagine. Well, Allah praise my daughter, your daughter, my sister, your sister, our granddaughters, grandsons, all jumping in the pool together and say we're having fun and all these type of things. And three quarter of them are half naked, three quarter naked. In such places, Allah's la'anat comes, curse comes. See, the ulama in tafsir, they wrote a point and it's so apt and relevant for us because now it's holiday time. And study the story of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, Sayyida Hawa radiallahu anha, and how the Iblis, he beguiled them, he deceived them. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. So the shaitan, you must remember, he brought the waswasa, whisperings. They ate, you must remember, from the tree they were not supposed to eat because they forgot. And then the first thing that happened, the jannati clothing, you must remember, it started falling down. And then Quran says, وَتَفِقَا يَخْسِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِوَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. The more clothing we remove, you must remember, we're playing straight into the hands of shaitan. That is what Quran is teaching us. Chapter 7, verse 22. So therefore, be very careful in this zamana, where there's so much immorality, and bear hayai, Allah protect us. Okay, next up will be the news headlines, inshallah, with Brother Yusuf Ali. Then Nabi Salih alayhi salatu salam, Mohan Abdurrahman Saluji, 1 o'clock Adhan, then 1:05 to 1:30, Surah Kahf. Very interesting today. Why did Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam do all those actions? Chapter 7, Surah Kahf, chapter 18, and remember that will be verse 79 to verse 82. 1:30 to 2, Surah Hud, from the archives, verses 81 to 83. 2 to 3, Madrasa on Air, Mona Zaid Khan. 3 to 3:30, repeat of this morning's Q&A. 3:30 to 4, that Hazrat Mona Said Ahmad Khan Sahab, two things will try always to overpower human being in Urdu. 4 to 5, Paradise and the Bounties of Paradise, Mufti Yusuf Mangera. And then 5 to 7, Inshallah, Mona Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of today's tafsir, verses 79 to 82, Surah Kahf. 7:30 to 8, inshallah, Mo Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices. 8 to 10, Brother Shafaat, and 8 to 9 will be the medical file. And the doctor today with Brother Shafaat is Dr. Farooq Hafiji, and then the Maulana Salman Kaji and company with Brother Shafaat. Inshallah, that is till 10 o'clock the program. Make dua for us and the Ummah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And 4 to 6, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. For myself, and of course, our beloved senior Ustad, we say Jazakumullahu khairan for tuning and listening to us. Up next, Haji Yusuf Ali with the 12 o'clock news.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.